Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alec Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Accrued Interest is brought to you by Monocle Solutions, an independent, results-focused management consulting firm specializing in banking and insurance. Too big to fail. Those four words burned themselves into the global psyche after the collapse of Lehman Brothers triggered the bailout of Wall Street banks and other financial institutions. It was the global financial crisis of 2008, and I recall it like it was yesterday. We saw the collapse of Lehman Brothers. We then saw US Congress passing this Emergency Economic Stabilization Act back in October of that year, and that included a $700 billion Troubled Asset Relief Program, which became TARP, and, well, I suppose the rest is history. Now, in South Africa, the Reserve Bank has been grappling with this concept and really what it means for our local, big, systemically important financial institutions. Well, to look under the hood of what is now known as resolution planning, I'm joined by Ntuteko Titi Ngomazulu, who is a senior executive at Monocle Solutions. Great to chat, Titi. How, firstly, do you see this evolving? Let's maybe just start right at the beginning. What is the context of what is now known as bank resolution?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Michael. So bank resolution or resolution planning is essentially a concept that was born from the 2007-2008 financial crisis. And as you know, this is where we saw rising interest rates and high oil prices lead to a significant rise in your U.S. mortgage defaults. And we know that this in turn led to a market liquidity crisis, which eventually moved through to the real economy and essentially started to impact financial institutions and specifically large systematically important banks, right? And what we essentially witnessed as a result of all of this was the necessity for government intervention in the form of your traditional bailout. So your capital injections, your debt guarantee issuances, as well as, you know, buyback programs, such as you mentioned, you know, TARP in the US and various other, you know, programs or very similar programs that were implemented around the globe. And really in these cases, the government often has no choice but to implement bailouts, you know, given one, the systematic interconnectedness of banks, which essentially heightens the contagion risk, right? And two, you know, the fact that your traditional loss-absorbing instruments that are found now in your credit hierarchy can only absorb losses once a bank is a gone concern and not necessarily a going concern. So, you know, since then, the G20 has really worked to introduce your, you know, regulatory reforms, you know, to mitigate against a lot of this or a lot of these risks. And they essentially developed a set of international standards relating to the resolvability of banks that were formally adopted in 2015. And in 2018, the National Treasury and the SARB then collaborated to create what we call the IFSLAB, which is the Financial Sector Law Amendment Bill. And this essentially contains, you know, proposed amendments to the Financial Sector Regulation Act, you know, on things such as your provision of orderly resolution of a designated institution, you know, the creation of a deposit insurance scheme, as well as your, you know, your amendments of other acts that are required as or for an effective resolution framework. So this was promulgated back in January 28th. So it's actually now known as the Financial Sector Law Amendment Act. So, I mean, just in terms of what resolution actually is, it's essentially the restructuring of a bank by a resolution authority. And this is done through the use of various resolution tools, right? One of them being statutory bail-in, or even the creation of a bridge entity where the resolution authority can essentially transfer all or part of the bank's assets or liabilities. And this is essentially has the purpose of protecting, you know, the public interest by mitigating against the need for a taxpayer bailout.
And I mean, given the context of what we see here in South Africa, what do you make of the Treasury and Reserve Bank thinking about this issue of too big to fail, given the fact that South Africa's financial system held up relatively well during that global financial crisis? Obviously, we have our very unique context of sort of capital restrictions via exchange controls and somewhat of a closed system, but we are still integrated. What do you make of this approach to bank resolution?
Yeah, I think traditionally the Reserve Bank has always had a very cautious approach, you know, when it comes to implementing regulation, the risk that is associated with our large banks. And I think if one thing that, you know, the financial crisis in 2007-2008 taught us is that, you know, anything can essentially happen in a moment of crisis, whether globally or locally. And in order to prevent, you know, a lot of what's happened in the past, we need to ensure that, you know, in the case where we have a worst-case scenario within the country itself, that taxpayers are protected. And I think that, for me, is probably the primary motive behind a lot of the work that's been put in now. It's essentially just to protect the taxpayer and to limit the impact on society as a result of any sort of bank instability or failure.
And, you know, the taxpayer issue was a big lightning rod over in the US, and we saw with the lifeboat issue here and our A2 banking crisis how things, you know, can very quickly into that realm of contagion unless you get ahead of things. So I think resolution planning is vitally important. From what I'm hearing you say now, we do have a particular process for a systemically important financial institution to enter resolution. It's almost like the process of going into business rescue, for example. How does that work?
Yeah, so I think, you know, before even going into the process, it's very important to outline two different approaches that the SARB will be implementing when it comes to financial institutions. So this would be, you know, either a closed resolution or open resolution, right? All systematically important financial institutions will then qualify to be categorized under an open resolution, which means that they cannot be allowed to fail completely. The resolution authority, which would be the SARB in this instance, would then have to step in to resolve the entity. And it's also very important to note that the purpose of a resolution is not to resurrect the bank. It's essentially to maintain the critical services and the core functions of the bank that would otherwise impact the financial system. So essentially the bank, as you know, it could look very different post-resolution, right? It could either be split between a good bank or a bad bank, or even have large portions of its balance sheet sold off. Mm. Now, just in terms of the process of an open resolution, you know, when you are essentially faced with, you know, a financial crisis or any sort of global or local issues, you obviously will have your BAU or your internal processes, right, your EDD, your early warning indicators, that will be set up to either, perform stresses on your data in order to anticipate such events, right? Now, if you get to a point where the bank is now experiencing, you know, capital liquidity losses, which are now significant enough to invoke a bank's internal recovery plans, those recovery plans need to, first of all, be in place by the bank, and this is one of the requirements of IFSLAB, and, you know, if that is not successful, then you can, you know, for instance, reach out or reach a point of non-viability, you know, as introduced in the Basel III regulations, you know, where the PA could initiate the write-down or conversions of your additional Tier 1 or Tier 2 instruments that have write-down or conversion clauses entrenched within them. Now, if all of the above is still unsuccessful, right, and the regulator deems that a bank is now failing or has now the potential to fail, and they also deem that all statutory options have now been exhausted, and closing the bank or liquidating the bank would not be in the best interest of society, then the bank would enter into something called resolution, and that would be the point of resolution. And during a point of resolution, the RA, or the resolution authority, would then take over the management and control of the bank during the resolution process. And during this process, the various powers that have actually now been introduced that will be allocated to the resolution authority that they can exercise during resolution, right? And the two newest ones are your statutory bail-in, as well as your establishment of a bridge institution, which I just touched on now. Now, the power of a statutory bail-in, for instance, essentially enables the resolution authority to recapitalize the institution at the point of resolution, and could do this by either writing down the shares of a designated institution, could issue new shares in the company, it could write down the liabilities of the company, can even convert the debt instruments to equity. Right. So over and above these powers, you know, the resolution authority would also additionally have the right to, for instance, implement stays on early termination rights. Now, as you know, with resolution being now a statutory regime, it would supersede any local contracts that the bank has with its counterparties, but would not in the case of your foreign contracts. And that's why, you know, it's very important to have these stays in place. And, you know, in essence, then, you know, the powers would include full control and management of the financial institution. It can also place the institution into liquidation if it deems necessary. But the point of all of this is essentially to stabilize the bank, to reduce any significant market impact or economic impact using the resolution tools and powers that it has at its disposal, and to exit resolution while maintaining its critical services.
Right. And within that, you've got the resolution controller that plays an important role. Just as we're running out of time, TT, I'm going to have to have you back on the show because there is so much detail in this and we can really get stuck in the weeds. How have banks been preparing for this, and what do you see as the upshot here for the financial institutions, the financial sector, and its clients and depositors more broadly?
Yeah, so there are two main requirements for banks that will be required in the next few years. The first is, I think the PA requires the banks to develop internal recovery plans, and this is to ensure that they deal with the severe stresses and take actions to avoid failure. The second requirement is that banks will be required to integrate additional processes that will allow the resolution authority to take over the banks in an attempt to stabilize and reduce any specific or significant market and economic impact. And this will be, and this will obviously be done using the resolution tools and powers that it has at its disposal. Now, luckily enough, you know, we've actually been working quite closely with a few banks to not only unpack the long list of requirements that have been published to date and essentially build out the pathway to compliance over the next few years, but we've also now begun to help reorganize, enhance and build out a lot of the architecture and processes that, you know, will be required or will require significant changes in the lead up to the SARB's publication of, you know, the finalized requirements within the next year, actually. So I think with the experience that we've gained through numerous regulations or regulatory implementation that we've been involved in, as well as our extensive knowledge of our clients' infrastructure and operational process. Yeah, so we're quite confident that our clients will not only be able to meet the regulatory requirements in time, but also be able to leverage off a lot of these changes to optimize and enhance existing strategic and operational processes. So yeah, very excited about what lies ahead.
The FS Lab is just another one of those acronyms that we have that pepper the financial industry, but very important sharing a little bit more about the requirements and guidelines as we head into this new era of bank resolution. Thank you so much, Titi and Gomazulu, in this week's Accrued Interest here on Classic Business, brought to you by specialist management consultants, Monocle Solutions.
From bank vaults to ones and zeros in the cloud, the world of financial services has changed dramatically over the years. For over two decades, Monocle Solutions has supported banks and insurers around the world as they navigate this change. As a bespoke execution partner, we help bridging the divide between business needs and the complex systems, processes, and data at the heart of our clients' operations. From Cape Town to Amsterdam, Johannesburg to London, Monocle Solutions, we design change. For more information, visit monoclesolutions.com.
For the next insert of Accrued Interest with specialist management consultants Monocle Solutions, listen to Classic Business next Wednesday at 20 to 7. That's a wrap. Thanks to Mwanda for driving the bus tonight. May your load shedding schedule be light and accurate. Good night.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.